Thank you very much for being here. We do have a number that are visiting, and we appreciate that so much. We do, though, on the other hand, have folks that would normally be with us that aren't here this morning, and we do miss them, some that aren't feeling well and some that are traveling. So we do miss the people that aren't with us this morning. You, I hope, noticed that Glendon led songs about songs, and that as you sang those, you actually thought about the words that we're singing, and you can think back through that now and think about those songs. Now, we sang those because we just like to sing. No, we didn't. If that's our reason, then we didn't do it for the right reason. And people go, well, but that's, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Well, yeah, we're supposed to enjoy it, but that's not the reason we do things. There's a lot of things I enjoy, but I would never bring it into the assembly here because it would be wrong for me to do so. So why do we sing? What's the purpose behind it, and what's it all about? Well, we've studied some things about authority, and we'll actually touch on that a little bit in the second lesson, but I want to approach this from a different standpoint. I want us to think about why we do things and why we should be doing things. It's not because we just decide we like it, because here's what happens. The minute we decide we're only doing it because that's what we like to do, then we'll change it to please ourselves. And we'll start, doing things that it would be wrong in God's sight when we think about the Old Testament and places like Amos. He talked about the fact that they had totally changed what David had set up. And there was nothing in it that was pleasing to God in the singing and in those instruments that they were playing during that period of time that God had commanded. But God didn't like it anymore. Because, see, they weren't doing it anymore because God wanted them to do it a certain way and would honor God in doing that. They did it because they wanted to. So when we think about songs and singing, I think of Nehemiah coming out, and I hope you can see this well. Linda just squinted, so if you can't, I apologize. In Nehemiah 12, 45 and 46, both the singers and the gatekeepers kept the charge of their God and the charge of the purification according to the command of David and Solomon, his son. Now, Nehemiah is not saying, we just did this on the basis of that's what David and Solomon had said some almost 500 years prior to this. He's saying they were commanded of God, and we can read other scriptures that says that, for in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers, and the songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. And when we look at this and we think about it, so why were they doing this? They were doing it because they had been commanded of God. Did they enjoy what they were doing? Absolutely enjoyed it very much. They have just come out of captivity, and they're trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And they're excited about this. And they want to do this. And they're looking back at God's law, and they're very pleased, and they're happy about all of this. And with that, there's also some tears because they realize they have not been doing things properly before God. And that's why it's so important. So when we look at songs in the Bible, and I briefly mentioned this on Wednesday night, wanted to lead into what I was going to talk about today. When we think of songs, sometimes people think of just like the Psalms. But I'm just going to use a few of the songs that were written. And what you will note in all of this is this. They didn't pick some just, well, I'll call it abstract song that someone had written out there and they sang it. A lot of occasions, they actually had people writing the songs right then and there on the basis of what just had happened with God. And this is very important because I was thinking when I was studying this lesson, it would be great if we actually had folks that could do that, could write about things that just recently happened that are very important in our lives. When we look at it, we think of the song, for instance, of Moses. And all I'm going to ask you to do is turn to these. I'm not going to go through them. I'm just going to comment on them briefly because I want to talk about how important this is. Why did Moses write this song? Well, Moses wrote this song in Exodus 15 because they had just come out of captivity. And when they came out of captivity, one of the things that we note about this is that he talks about the fact that God was the one that had destroyed Pharaoh and his army. He wrote it right then and there. And they sang this song of praise to God about the fact that they had just come out of captivity. How important was this to them? Now, I got a question for you. Would I sing that song today? No. That was a song specific about them coming out of Egyptian captivity, those Israelites. It was specific to them. The Song of Israel is mentioned in Numbers 21, and it's a very interesting song that they sang. In Numbers 21, they had a need for the things of this life. For instance, food and water and clothing, and God was taking care of all their needs. How many times would we just write a song like this? I want you to note what they were singing about in 17 and the first part of 18. Then Israel sang this song. Spring up, O well, all of you sing to it. The way the leader sank, dug by the nation's nobles, by the lawgiver with their staves. They sang because they were happy that God had given them the necessities of this life. And I was thinking, how many times would we break out into song over something like that? But you can see how much they appreciated what God was doing for them. And that should tell us something about singing. There's another song by Moses, and it's found in Deuteronomy 31. And the reason I wanted to mention this one is because in this particular instance, he is getting ready to depart from this life. He knows he's not going to be here much longer, and we find him doing something that we still do today. You know what it is? Therefore, Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. He took the time to teach them and to teach them how to sing this song. Read the song sometime in chapter 32. I read a part of this in our hearing not too many Sundays ago. I don't know how many. But this is a song of prophecy. This is a song about future things, and he wanted them to continue to sing this song. I have a question for you. Do we still do that today? What? We sure do. We sing about what God has already prophesied about a time when we can leave this life and be with Him in heaven, doesn't He? We sing songs about things that He has told us about. Now, we don't prophesy like Moses did here, where he talked about their lives and how they should live. But why was it so important for these songs? It was important because it was a reminder to them on how to live. It's not just a matter of us getting together and we like some songs and we want to sing them. That's a good thing to practice songs. I'm not talking about that. But we want to be built up and edified, as we'll talk about that later. I talked about this one on Wednesday night from Judges 5. The Canaanites had started to fight against Israel. They didn't like the people of Israel being there. And we find in this passage of Scripture that Sisera, who was a general of the army, had gathered some people together, and he was fighting against them. We find then after they were defeated, and Jael had killed him with a tent peg, they sang a song about that and wrote a song about it. And I'm just making these points about, isn't it wonderful that they would take the time? I mean, we think about prayer, but we also should think about song and how important it is, the fruit of our lips going before God. In 2 Samuel 1, 17 through 27, there's a song by David. David wrote a lot of songs. In this particular case, he wrote about Saul and Jonathan. And it's a beautiful song because he talks about the fact that it is God that had put them there. But he talks about their death and how sad it is to him. And he wrote this immediately after their death. In 2 Chronicles 29, there's a song written and sung. And when we look at this song, it is an interesting one because in this particular song, it doesn't really go into detail about it. But I will tell you what it does say. It does say that this song was written to do one thing and one thing only. And that was to praise God. Praise to the Lord. Thanks to Him. And it was written specifically and sung specifically for that purpose. We find in that we have this whole book of songs. I was telling someone that they're talking about songs. I said, well, we have a song book in the Bible. But we have lots of them that are separate from that. Now, there's a song of Moses that's included in this as well. I didn't mention his name here, but David, Korah, the sons of Korah, rather, and Asaph wrote most of these, and then there's one from Moses that's repeated. And these songs came from the heart, but they were all inspired of God. And I believe most of these we're talking about were directly inspired of God. I won't say that maybe all of them were, but I know that most of them were. I know all of these were. Now the one I'm leaving out of that, I don't know about the one where David wrote it about Saul and Jonathan. The Bible just doesn't say it. Then this one's inspired. It's a Song of Solomon. A separate song that was meant to be a song that was sung. I don't know how long it would have taken to sing that song, but it would have taken a while, and it's considered a song. And when we think about it, this is a song that is actually about physical love. And it is a song of love, and it's meant to be that way. In Isaiah 5:1, there's a song there where it is the song of my beloved. And this is not talking about someone that he loved. This is talking about the one that he loved, God Almighty, and how he had planted this vineyard. Then we have in Isaiah 26:1, the song of Judah, where they would come back and they would sing about the city of God and the importance of that city of God. Now we sing about a new city of God. A city that we're a part of, not the city that they were talking about, which would be Zion and going into that city. And then in Nehemiah 12:27, they had a song to dedicate the walls of Jerusalem. Now, in all of these songs that we would read through, what's important about them? Is it important that we just sing what we want to sing, or we write what we want to write, or we do whatever? Absolutely not. I just want to pick out some from the book of Psalms. And if you would, please, I would ask you to follow along with me. In the 113th Psalm, there is a song of praise to God. He said, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore. How long? From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. So it's not just in the assembly. He's talking about we need to praise God in song. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high, who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and the earth? Think about that. He said, has to lower Himself, if you will, to consider even the things that are on this earth. How much greater He is than us. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that He may seat him with the princes of His people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. And then there's Song of Thanksgiving in 105, and I'll just read the first five verses of that, as it's been, again, broken down by men. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice who seek the Lord, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. And so many times I think of these songs, many of them we could sing still today. And it's sad, we do have some that men have put to music, if you will, or put notes to them that we can sing them, but others we don't have. How about His salvation? Still songs that they sung and we can sing, both physical and spiritual salvation. In Psalm 62, He talks about this in verses 1 through 7, through the whole chapter, but I'm just using this. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. And I just want to stop for a moment. I know that there's a lot of things in these blessings. I was just talking to someone prior to this who had some car trouble. And he was talking about that car trouble had gone away. And he thanked God right away. Because he said, this is what he said. He said, truly He is the great mechanic, if you will. He's the one that can make things whole. And that's why we pray to Him. He is... But in salvation, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul waits silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. But how about forgiveness? Would we sing songs about that? In the 103rd song, he talks about forgiveness and he talks about how God is so gracious to do that and how God will not hold his anger forever. And he says this, he has not, in verse 10, dealt with us according to our sins, and we know that. And think about this song, this beautiful song that David wrote, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. On who? On those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children. To who? To such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. And then there's this confession of sin in song. We find that David would confess, I don't know, he's not the only one in this book of songs that we have, but he certainly confessed his sins many, many times. I think most of us remember chapter 51, but in chapter 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. So how did David deal with this? When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. So what did he do? I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And in Psalm 59 he talks about the sins of others and how they too needed this, but they weren't going to receive it. So if they did not repent of their sins and confess them to God, it was his desire that God take care of this. 59:8-17. But you, O Lord, shall laugh at them, those people who would do evil to others. You shall have all the nations in derision. O you, his strength, I will wait for you. For God is my defense. My merciful God shall come down to meet me. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. Do not slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them ever be taken in their pride, and for the cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be. And let them know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. And at evening they return, they growl like a dog and go all around the city. They wander up and down for food and howl as if they're not satisfied. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, the God of my mercy. And he prays about these people who will not do that. And then the remembrance of leaders. We find in Isaiah 68 Psalm, when they were probably bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, David wrote this song. As he observed this coming back, it would seem that he was so impressed with these leaders who were taking the time to lead the people in the right way. In 26-29, this is said, bless God in the congregation, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There's little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O Lord, what you have done for us, because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. And I was thinking about all these beautiful songs, and of course we sing songs like Faith of Our Fathers, Living Still. And we talk about these ones who had been leaders in the past, and as a result of that, we too can have that hope. And then he talks about love. In the 97th Psalm, 9-12, for you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You, who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. And I was thinking as I was reading through these, These are beautiful songs written by inspired men that should inspire us and make us think differently about how we sing and why we sing and what singing is all about. And that long psalm, I'm going to read the 117th psalm. It's extremely long. It'll take a little while. For those of you know, it's only two verses. Oh, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples, for His merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Just a short song, but a song that has so much meaning about His kindness, His love toward us. And then, just about three more of these, dependency on God. In the 37th Psalm, it's an admission in our songs to Him that we can do nothing of ourselves. We are totally dependent on Him. We're dependent on Him for our very existence, our life, everything that we receive. And it is good that we sing those things to God to tell Him how much we appreciate what He's done for us. 7 through 16. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look diligently for his place, but it will be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Well, the wicked plots against the just and gnashes him with his teeth. We see this in the world today, don't we? He said, don't concern yourself with that. You just depend on God. Let Him take care of all these things for you. The Lord laughs at him, for He sees that His day is coming. Well, the wicked has drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Is that not true today? I mean, this beautiful song that he wrote, you can see things haven't changed. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. And then we show our devotion in song. In the first six verses of this same song, he says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. We need to believe this, that we will delight in God, and we ask of Him, we will receive. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And the last one, we show our adoration to God. So many of the songs, I love the first section of the songbook that we have now that is just simply adoration. It is saying to God, I adore you. I believe in you, and it is because of you that I have everything that I have. And so in the 96th Psalm, such a beautiful reading, and I, of course, think all of these are, 1 through 9. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all you earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O kindreds of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. These beautiful, beautiful songs. When we think about them, the songs that they sang to God certainly says a lot about the hearts of these people. I have thought several times, I wish I had that talent to write songs and put them down. I really do. I actually have a son that can do that. And I have tried to encourage him to write songs because he is so good at it. It comes from his heart. And he certainly, I see why That is difficult to read. I apologize for that. I can't tell when I'm doing these, and so I do apologize. They use songs to remind themselves and others about the mighty acts of God. They wanted to tell Him how much they appreciated Him and all that He had done in their lives. They knew that life was short. And they even write about that and how important it is that every moment is used in worshiping and serving God. They sing about the importance of living it according to the will of God in places like the 119th Psalm, where they exalt His Word as being that perfect Word that they lived under during that period of time. And the same would be true about Jesus' Word today, only even more so because of the blessings we have. They sing about the need for forgiveness, God's ability to forgive and remove sin from their lives. That God could do this as far as the East is from the West, and they knew that, and they believed that He would do it. God made it possible for them to get eternal forgiveness, but they had to wait. He made it possible, though, the same way for us. He gave His Son on the cross. He removed their sins and removed ours. That's why He could promise that. So the question is, do you have your forgiveness today? We're going to stand and sing a song. Why do we do this? Well, it's a custom of ours. You could easily be obedient to the gospel at any time. We do this because we're hoping that through the words that we just talked about and the song we're about to sing, that you would seriously think about your sins. That like David, you would want to remove them from your life. That you would believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ made that possible as the Son of God. And as a result of that, because you have a penitent heart and willing to confess Him and you believe on Him with all your might, that you believe that in baptism He'll remove your sins. So we would ask you, would you be willing to do that? Or as a Christian, do you have any needs? If you do, would you please let us know while we stand and sing?